I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime! Woo!
All right, good morning and welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. This is your safe space. You're an independent thinker out there every day, every weekday from 9 to 11 o'clock. We take a look at politics, beholden to no party, no politician. We just call them like we see them here. This is not breaking news. I saw last night, I was watching the Tucker Carlson show, and I guess Sean Hannity is on after Tucker Carlson. I noticed that every single story that Sean Hannity runs, he's got a big, giant breaking news, the big red banner. I think this was popularized during 9-11. This is when I remember everything going hysterical. Everything was very important that came on the screen. I noticed that Sean Hannity is still hanging. Fox News really is kind of known for this. Maybe it's because it's really one of the only major networks I watch. I don't watch CNN or MSNBC or any of these, but everything is breaking news. And I'm bound and determined to figure out what the graphics are. I was watching some of the news shows on Sunday. I don't have the ability to do this in this audio platform, but if you watch, I think Fox is probably one of the biggest on this, but every news network does this where the backgrounds are constantly shifting. There are easily anywhere between 10 and 20 different graphics moving around while somebody's talking. You've got a face or two face, or you've got the four people on a panel, but behind them, sometimes behind one of the, you know, the backdrop for one of the people on the panel might be moving around, and then that is superimposed upon another panel that's moving around and flashing and light streaming, and the banner at the bottom is moving. There's something to that. I've never really been able to figure out what that is, but it's like Las Vegas. Las Vegas puts a lot of money, or casinos here, even in Mississippi, they put a lot of money into behavioral science. They lay out the floors of their casinos. They want to make sure that they get certain slot machines in high traffic areas, their eye catchers, the slot developers themselves put a lot of time into seeing how human beings react. There's a constantly manipulation. I mean, grocery stores do these things too. You know, they try to guide you to things. It's scientific the way they put their products up. There's something about the news, something psychological is going on there, and it really kind of will lead me into the second hour today, where we're going to talk a little bit about this new documentary, The Social Dilemma, where you've got a lot of people who have done pretty in-depth work with the big tech companies out in Silicon Valley, Twitter, Facebook, Google, Instagram, talking about the manipulation of the human mind on these things, and they're really kind of calling some alarm to it. It does have a left slant, as you would imagine a bunch of Silicon Valley veterans would have, but there's some pretty alarming stuff on that. I'll have some clips and talk a little bit about that and some other technologies and what it will be probably my first Tech Tuesday segment in 6 months. But it's a cautionary tale. I am on a fatwa against social media across the board. I think it is really damaging to our society. I think it's damaging to most people who use social media. Everybody says, well, I mean, not the way I use it. I use it the right way. A lot of other people are addicted. I know people who have tried to take Facebook off of their phone, and it magically finds its way back on their phone again. Very hard to get off these things. There's a reason for that, and you'll hear from some of the developers of those softwares exactly what that manipulation is, why you are addicted to Twitter. It is not an accident. My quotes for today will be appropriate. This is Benjamin Franklin. We've all heard this one before in some form. Those who give up essential liberties for temporary safety deserve neither liberty nor safety. That certainly is going to play into what we talk about in just a second. And then Harry Brown, a former libertarian presidential nominee, said government is a parasite, a cancer that by nature tries to spread deeper into society. Those who want to run others' lives won't give up and start minding their own business. And boy, aren't we seeing that's the case right now. Hurricane Sally down on the coast looks to be shifting east of the Mississippi coast. Luckily, I guess you don't want to be on the right side. The right side of a hurricane is the wrong side for damage. It appears to continually be shifting right. I guess it can change. It's moving very slow, but it doesn't appear to be strengthening. It was originally, they thought it was going to be a Category 2 storm. Looks like last I saw, they're thinking it's going to stay as a Category 1. And if you were to extrapolate the way they report on hurricanes to the way that they've been reporting on coronavirus, and you would think that they would be hanging on to the fact it's a Category 2, not admitting that it's just a Category 1, or maybe trying to get us convinced that it's possibly a 3 or a 4. We can't be too careful. See, with hurricanes, we get information, and then we adjust as the conditions change. We're all familiar with being in a coastal state. We're all familiar with how hurricane projections go. You know, first, when it's far away, you get the spaghetti tracks. There's probably more than a dozen of these things, and some of them are wildly different. It's all the possibilities of what a storm might do. As the storm gets closer and closer to land, obviously, the projections cover a smaller and smaller area until you're pretty sure when it's getting towards the coast exactly where a hurricane is going to make landfall and at what strength. For a Category 5 storm, people will leave an area, right? They'll bug out. We know a Category 5 hurricane can be a devastating hurricane. We've all lived through these things, right? We're smart enough to understand Category 5, pretty dangerous, might want to leave. Some people don't. Some people don't leave, and sometimes they suffer the consequences of that. Sometimes they make it through just fine. But a Category 5, we're all smart enough to figure out a Category 5 is a pretty serious storm. You need to make some decisions. The media and people like Thomas Dobbs here in Mississippi and Anthony Fauci are clinging to Category 5 coronavirus. They will not let that go, and they demand that we continue to take extreme measures. They will not admit that COVID is at best a tropical depression for people under about 75 years old. Now, even in a tropical depression or a tropical storm or a Category 1 like what we might see on the coast, there will be some tragedies. There could be some drownings. You'll see a car that tries to cross a road. They're not sure how deep the water is. The car is swept away. Tragic stories will occur during everything from a tropical with just a thunderstorm. I've talked about it before. You drive down the road in a serious storm. You have the risk of hydroplaning. There are tragic stories that come out of a thunderstorm. But COVID is at best a tropical depression, yet they have been treating it like a Category 4 or 5 disease ever since we started, and they refuse to adjust the way they do with a hurricane. They'll look at the strength. They'll make a prediction. We think this is going to be a Category 4. It turns out it's only a Category 2. And they adjust everybody's expectations, and everybody makes their own decisions around that. With coronavirus, they have maintained this hypervigilant state, and they refuse to admit that if you are a healthy person under 70, 75 years old, COVID-19 is at best a tropical depression. For kids and young adults, it's basically a rainy day, yet that hasn't stopped the hysteria on college campuses because people like Thomas Dobbs, Anthony Fauci, refuse to admit that their projections were wrong and refuse to admit that this is not something that should alter the lives of the vast majority of Americans out there, save the people who are struggling with chronic health conditions, which is largely a result of your diet if you're suffering from these things. But I spoke to a friend last night who had dinner with a family doctor this weekend. Guy's got a pretty big practice, been practicing, I think, maybe 20, 25 years, has built up a family practice. This doctor told him this weekend that if he had not heard about COVID-19 all across the news media, and we had not been taking these extraordinary steps within the population of his patient base, which is over 1,000 patients, he would not have even known anything was going on. He would have seen some patients that had a virus, possibly some of them leading to a hospitalization, like every single year he's been in practice. Every year, he says, he would see something and just say, well, yeah, Fred, you picked up some kind of a virus. That's what he'd tell a patient that comes in with, you know, odd symptoms and maybe not doing so well. We all know somebody that during the course of a normal flu year, they go, ooh, that one really knocked me on my butt. I've been down for 2 weeks. We've heard this over and over again. My entire life, some people get really, I've had bad flus. But this is a practicing physician. I won't name his name. It's a practicing physician that said he wouldn't have even noticed that this was actually a thing had it not been for the likes of Thomas Dobbs and Anthony Fauci and Tate Reeves. And we'll talk about Tate Reeves, you know, in this supposed Democrat, Democrat-run COVID-19. It's a Democrat operation designed to take down Donald Trump. Well, I got to tell you, they've had an awful lot of cooperation by a whole lot of Republicans all across the country. Tate Reeves, Reeves being one of them. We'll talk in just a second. He expanded the mask mandate, but he has allowed restaurants a little bit more leeway. I want to take a look at the numbers of what Tate Reeves has proposed in allowing restaurants to serve a few more people indoors. What a benevolent
If you need an experienced lawyer that you can trust, contact the law firm of Danks, Miller & Corey. Our lawyers represent clients and small businesses across Mississippi. With over 100 years of combined legal experience, we have the expertise to handle even the most complex legal matters. When you need a lawyer to fight for you, don't compromise. Call Danks, Miller & Corey. You can reach us at 601-957-3101, 601-957-3101, or online at danksmillercorey.com.
So yesterday, our benevolent dictator, Tate Reeves, he extended the mask mandate for two more weeks. And this is this dirty little trick, this little mind control thing. Why did they extend the mask mandate? As cases go down, as deaths go just through the floor, as hospitalizations go down, obviously this thing is turning. It's not the catastrophe that they anticipated it would be. They're going to actually credit the masks. Now, they refuse to look at countries like Sweden that have just said, hey, Sweden did kind of the libertarian thing, which is what I would have done if I were president of the United States or governor of the state, which is, hey, we got a bug here. Looks like it's kind of catchy. If you got some pre-existing condition, you just need to watch this thing. Let's be really careful. And if you're really vulnerable, it's time to take some precautions because this has not been kind to some of our older people. But anyway, go about your business. Just know that this is out there. That's kind of what Sweden did. They didn't do nothing. They did some social distancing. I'm sure some people wore masks. But they did not do this wholesale lockdown, and their numbers have gone through the floor. Big bump up front as this thing came through and essentially got some of the most vulnerable people the same way the flu does when it comes through each year. But they refuse to look at that, so we've got, what, two more weeks. The rest of this month, we're masked up again. I'm sure this made Thomas Dobbs very happy. You can't let him out of the mask. It's working. No, it's not the masks that's working. If masks worked, California would have never had a spike. California, 6 weeks after their mask mandate went in, they had a huge spike in that state. Nobody's explained that to me. Why, if the masks work, with a huge clampdown that they did in California, how could they possibly have a spike 6 weeks after a mask mandate if masks work? But anyway, I'm sure this makes Thomas Dobbs excited. He loves that mask, boy. When I watched him do that press conference where he took the mask on and off between questions, he'd answer a question for 5 minutes with no mask on and then put it on while the a reporter asked a question for 30 seconds, and then he'd take it right back off to answer again. I just thought, okay, this is a guy just untethered from reality. Or maybe he's just virtue signaling. Maybe he's just trying to set a good example for us by masking up between questions. There was nobody within 20 feet of him. Tate Reeves was maybe 12 feet from him. But outside of that, nobody else was anywhere near him. But he kept that mask on. Got to wonder if these people get paid for this stuff. But the thing that I thought was a little bit more interesting was that Tate Reeves has now allowed restaurants to go up to 75%. Oh, thank you. Now, not 70% and not 80%. 75%, because I'm sure science says 75% occupancy is okay, but 82% would be an absolute catastrophe. 75%. So if you have a small place, I did a little bit of the math, which is what I like to do here on this show. If you have a small place that holds 60 people, Tate and Thomas Dobbs, and, you know, this is happening around the country. I'm picking on Tate Reeves. We're here in Mississippi, after all, and he is a Republican. Tate says it's okay to have 75% of the people at your 60-person establishment, or you can have 45 people in your establishment at a time. Now, you used to just be able to have 30, so we should just be licking the boots and thanking our benevolent leaders for allowing this extra 15 people to the capacity of our restaurant. You used to be able to have 30. Now we're giving you 45. If you're good, if you're good boys and girls and good restaurant owners and you force social distancing and you enforce mask wearing and you do a good job, we may let you go back to full occupancy. That's how I hear a politician speak. If your behavior is good, we may let you go back to the legal business that you were operating unfettered just 6 months ago. If you're good, if you're not good, then we may go back down. Okay. So if you have a 60-person restaurant, it is now okay to have 45 people in there. But 80% is a no-go at 48 people in your establishment. See, 45 people together in an enclosed environment. I'm just trying to point out the absurdity of this idea that science is leading the day right now. At 75% occupancy, and I would imagine that you can get all, you know, all kinds of fines and get into trouble and have your liquor license pulled or your food, your privilege license pulled for your business if you don't adhere to these things. So at 75%, what they're telling you is that 45 people is okay. If you have a 60-person occupancy, 45 people is okay, but 48 people would put our entire state at risk. That extra three people are going to cause a health crisis if you have those extra three people in there. This is how arbitrary and absurd this entire thing is. And the thing is that these restaurants, I've done 14 years in the restaurant business. I know what restaurants are up against. Why in the world, and again, the 75%, looking at this with 60 people in the restaurant, and that's, you know, that's fairly typical. You know, you got some restaurants that are, actually, I would say maybe 100 to 120 for a lot of restaurants that you go into, kind of more your chain, you know, box, square, freestanding restaurants, typically maybe around 100 to 120. So now you can have 75 people in your 100 capacity restaurant, but don't you have 79? Somehow 79, that extra four people, it can put us over the top. You see how ridiculous the micromanaging is? But see, we're so conditioned that we're just thankful that they gave us a little bit more back. And the question is going to be in the fall with the twindemic. It's coming, people. The twindemic. Donald Trump said he thinks we turned the corner on COVID. Anthony Fauci said, I hate to disagree, but And you can see the charts. The charts are just going down, 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 down. Cases down. Hospitalizations way down. Deaths way down. Anthony Fauci says, not too quickly here. Not too quickly. Again, back to my hurricane example. Anthony Fauci thinks we're still preparing and need to be on guard for a Category 5 when the rest of us out here know, any of the sane people out here know, this is a tropical depression at best. We'll be okay. I don't know exactly what's behind this. I was asking a friend last night. I said, what do you think's going through Thomas Dobbs' brain? Is he just refusing to look at any of the myriad of scientists? Scientists! I saw Melinda Gates was on the Today Show talking something about the vaccine program. I'm not sure. What did Melinda Gates do before she married a gajillionaire? Was she a nurse? Was she a doctor? I know Bill Gates has no medical training whatsoever. We certainly seem to take a lot of advice from him, but there are actual scientists and doctors and whole countries that are out there saying masks don't work. You don't need to do all this. Herd immunity may already be here. All kinds of contradictory views. Does Thomas Dobbs just stick his fingers in his ears when he hears those things? Ditto for Anthony Fauci. But Anthony Fauci, I kind of get. He's a control freak, evil troll. And I'm sure he's got a lot of money on the line with this thing. I don't know Thomas Dobbs is really plugged into the power structure. I don't know what he's getting out of this. Does he plug his ears when people say, including Anthony Fauci in March, saying masks don't work? They may make you feel a little bit better. They probably make you actually engage in more dangerous behavior because you get closer, because you think you're protected when you're not really. Anthony Fauci said that back in March. Does Thomas Dobbs put his fingers in his ears when he hears anybody say masks don't work? When he hears anybody say, hey, look, we got 15,000 college kids right now testing positive for COVID. Not one of them's in the hospital. Not one of them has died. Does he put his fingers in his ears? No. I still want to wag my fingers at all these college students who get together and actually have fun. We got to stamp out all this fun. Does he stick his fingers in his ears when people say, hey, look, if you got plenty of vitamin D, plenty of vitamin C, use some zinc, some quercetin, this thing is fine. Does he stick his fingers in his ears? No, no, it's still a crisis. It's still a crisis. Well, does he refuse to listen to anything that is not complete hysteria, doom and gloom on this thing? Because I can't see Thomas Dobbs really cashing in on the vaccine. He's not at the – maybe he's trying to get to that level. Maybe he thinks if he plays the game now, they'll move him up to the CDC, move him up to the NIH where he can get a piece of patents. Maybe he is proactively playing the game. And it just is inconvenient that he's cracking down on Mississippians and destroying small businesses in the process. That's the price we have to pay for his success down the road. Is that what it is? I don't know. I can't get inside someone's brain who decides to control everybody else. I go back to my Harry Brown quote from the beginning of this. Government is a parasite, a cancer that by nature tries to spread deeper into society. Those who want to run others' lives won't give up and start minding their own business. And boy, that is certainly what we've seen, and it continues to a degree here in Mississippi. What's interesting to me is I think as I talk about this, I wonder how many people out there are saying, well, give Tate Reeves and Thomas Dobbs a break. They're letting us go up to 75% in restaurants now. They're changing their minds on some of these things. They're granting us a few privileges back. They're allowing us to do this or allowing us to do that. Because I think that's kind of where we've come as a society. We sit around and wait for us to be allowed to do anything. And I've got a list here of how we got this way. Because people don't want freedom anymore. They want safety. Got a caller on the line. Caller, are you with me?
Yeah, Mike.
Hey, how are you?
You know, to a larger point, and I know you're a libertarian, and I consider myself one too. You know, we have to get a permit or a license to do anything from build a tractor shed to open a business.
Right. It's all privileges.
Even a lemonade stand for a 10-year-old kid, they want them to open a business license.
Right.
And what is a permit or a license? It's the permission to do something. And when you ask the government permission to do something and they grant you permission, they hold something over your head, like, you know, what you're seeing happening right now with the mandates, you know, because businesses, well, if I don't comply, they'll pull my business license.
Right,
pull my liquor license.
Pull my liquor license, right. Yeah.
And so that's where we've kind of failed as a society is we've been duped into thinking that the government is asking me to get a permit or a license for our own good. And what we've done is we've basically capitulated to the government and their permission. And now we've given them permission and power over our lives so that if we don't comply with their demands, then they punish us.
Yeah, and it's always sold to us under the guise of safety. I believe, isn't this the year that the Real ID Act takes place? When I flew out to Colorado last earlier this year, into last year, you know, they said, well, make sure you've got your real ID for next year. You won't be able to get onto a plane. So I believe if you don't have a real ID, and this is, of course, to keep us all safe, but now you've got to get some ID that's got, I don't know what's all on it, biometric information and everything else, or you can't fly now without this new ID, you know, to keep the airway, the airline safe, to keep us all safe from this and that. Yes, you're right. Everything now is a privilege. They grant you, in a country that has gone from rights for everybody and very limited duties for a government, which were all centered around protecting our rights, we now have become a society that has to ask for permission to do anything. We always have to ask. I mean, here in Mississippi, until recently, you had to have something like 300 hours to braid somebody's hair professionally. Yeah, you're exactly right. This, and we have allowed this, and I've got a whole list. In just a second, I'll talk about why it's come about. But I find it disgusting and pathetic. And that's why I wonder how many people listening to me now are saying, oh, cut Tate Reeves a break. At least he's letting us have 75% back in the restaurants.
And you could even apply this to the Second Amendment when we capitulated to the background check because we wanted to make sure the wrong people didn't buy a gun.
Right.
And so we capitulated, okay, we'll do the background check so if you're not a felon or a criminal, then you can't buy a gun. And now, you know, all the government has to do is say, oh, you're a suspicious group or you're a person of interest, you can't, you know. So, again, it's one of those deals when you ask their permission and they make sure you're one of the okay people. At any point, that permission can be denied.
Absolutely.
And they even tried to do that with the COVID thing where they tried to shut down the NICS system, you know, temporarily because of COVID.
Right, yeah. Well, we'll look at property taxes. I mean, you know, you can own a house. You can save up all your money or get a 30-year mortgage and pay year in, year out, and you pay all of that interest and you own the house. But, boy, you don't pay those taxes. That house is not yours anymore. In just a couple of years, that house will be taken from you for $2,000 in taxes.
Well, let me go back. This is something you probably understand more than I do. There's a thing called, at one time in America, you had an anodonial title on your property. That meant that it was solely yours, and you know you only pay taxes like a consumption tax on what you have farmed. You may own 10,000 acres, but if you farm 40, you paid taxes on 40. But if you had an anodonial title, that meant it was yours and yours only. And then when you start, you know, they've taken away that title. And there's some states like Texas, you can still get it, but you have to jump through a bunch of hoops.
Yeah. Yeah, it's insane. We all operate at the pleasure of the government and bureaucrats now. And we have just allowed this to happen because, you know, the Republicans are in charge. They wouldn't do us wrong. Well, look what's been happening in this state for the last 6 months. How's that working out for us?
Exactly. But, I mean, you can see it. I think today, even more so than when the lockdowns happened, the mass statues are everywhere.
Yes.
It's worse today than when the whole thing started. I had to buy a chocolate milk in the parking lot yesterday because the lady wouldn't let me buy chocolate milk in the store without my mask.
Yeah.
I mean, it's nuts the way people are acting now.
Yeah, and we're never going to get through to those people, but that's why I lay this at the feet of a Thomas Dobbs who's stoked this hysteria because he refuses to admit that they got it wrong, that it's not what they thought it was. I'll give them the first couple of months of, you know, this was something not known. China was doing some pretty draconian stuff, locking down hundreds of millions of people. Kind of makes you scratch your head and say, uh-oh, what's coming? But after about 2 months, really about 6 weeks, the verdict was in on exactly what this thing was doing, to some degree anyway. And certainly over the last 3 months, we should have taken our foot off the pedal of this hysteria. But they refuse to do it. And that's where I lay all this blame now.
Well, I feel they're setting us up for the vaccine. I think that's why they're doing all the continuing this. And in another 2 weeks, he's going to extend it for another 2 weeks and another 2 weeks. You know, in other states like California or, you know, or total lockdowns, they're already saying, you know, we're locking you down until we get a vaccine.
Right, right.
We are being set up for the vaccine, and that's, you know, my opinion.
Yeah, and we have to be careful with that here in Mississippi. As much as we like to talk about how bad California's government is, we have one of the worst ones in the country when it comes to mandating vaccines. Mississippi legislators love vaccines, so we certainly cannot count on them. We need to get out ahead of that and contact them and say absolutely not here in this state. But anyway, hey, man, appreciate the call. Got to run to a quick break. All right. Bye-bye. Okay. Quick break. We'll be right back. Mike Madison here. Have you heard about Lee Garland's latest offer? You know, he's the real estate agent with the Moving On team at RE/MAX Alliance who will guarantee the sale of your home. Well, he's up the ante once again, and not only will he guarantee the sale, but he wants the opportunity to offer you cash before you ever even place it on the market. That's right. Lee Garland with the Moving On team at RE/MAX Alliance is and represents cash buyers who are willing to buy your home as is today. Can you imagine not having to jump through a bunch of hoops, not having to scramble around to meet the buyer's needs, and not having to do repairs for some crazy home inspection? If so, call Lee Garland at 601-983-1130 or 601-941-2424 for more details on his cash offer and or guaranteed sale. Again, call Lee Garland at 601-983-1130, 601-983-1130 or 601-941-2424.
I need your arms around me. I need to feel your touch. I need your understanding. I need your love so much. You tell me that you love me so. You tell me that you care.
All right, we're back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Phone number here, 601-879-0002. I've been kind of wanting to ask the question, you know, is Tate Reeves' response to this, to coronavirus, a lot of people may think it's justified. I mean, there's a lot of people out there scared to death. They think the government, they think there's a mommy and daddy sitting in positions of power that can keep us safe from everything. Actually, a lot of people on both sides have begun to believe that. We'll get into that in a second, but will it affect your vote for Tate Reeves when he comes to re-election? And I know what a lot of people will say. Yes, it will. He locked us down, and no. You can go ahead and dissuade yourself of that idea that you're going to vote against Tate Reeves. It's cute that we think we might vote against him. Here's what will happen. It happens all the time. And, I mean, Tate Reeves may do some great things during his stint as the governor there. I really don't have a personal beef with Tate Reeves. I just don't like authoritarians of any color, of any stripe, of any political party. But people will say, I've heard people say this. I've had it. This is ridiculous. Allow the churches to be shut down and all this stuff. He's not getting my vote again. Yes, he will. Yes, he will. Because Tate Reeves and the Republican Party know how to play the game, and you don't. All they have to do is throw the party support behind Tate Reeves. He gets the money. He gets the endorsements. All the party players line up behind him. He becomes the nominee, and then you're forced with the decision. What, are you going to let a Democrat run Mississippi? The liberals do this, too. This is why they can get away with whatever they want to. And this is why I tell you don't donate to the two major parties. If you got a candidate you like, donate to that candidate. But don't get given money to the Democratic Party or the Republican Party, because the establishment picks the candidate and then they force you into it. And Mississippi may be one of the worst. I don't know. You know, I got a vested interest here of ever primarying anybody. Because Mississippi will go with whoever the establishment Republican Party tells them to go with. Cindy Hyde-Smith's a great example of that. Everyone talks about the enthusiasm gap for Joe Biden, and you're exactly right. There is no enthusiasm for Joe Biden. All the enthusiasm is either for Trump or against Trump. There's no enthusiasm for Cindy Hyde-Smith except in that the levers of power. The establishment Republican Party wanted to crush anybody who went against Cindy Hyde-Smith. And now you got yourself a Cindy Hyde-Smith, and you're going to have her until she decides to leave. Doesn't matter what she votes for, what she does. You can say, oh, gosh, golly gee, Williker, she did something else again. She's just a rhino, whatever. All she really has to do now is just say, I support Trump, and everybody doesn't care what her voting record is. That's all that matters now. It's all about Donald Trump. But it's almost cute to me. And again, I'm not trying to pick on anybody really here, because this happens with the Democrats and the Republicans. Every political party knows this game. When push comes to shove, it doesn't matter how poorly a politician performs. All they got to do is go, what are you going to do? You going to vote for the Democrat? Or are you just going to stay home and let the Democrat win? So they can do whatever the hell they want to do. It's the beauty for them, not for us, but it's the beauty for them of the two-party system. Each party castigates the other one for being this existential threat to everybody, and everybody's going to die, and old people are going to die, and everybody's going to be complete chaos if the other party gets control. And so you're forced, even though the record of the candidate you're forced to vote for is just abysmal, and I'm not saying that just at Tate Reeves right now, I'm just saying in general, this happens over and over again, and Mississippi may be one of the worst. So I don't think it's going to affect Tate Reeves' reelection chances at all, because ultimately it's going to be Tate Reeves versus a Democrat, and everybody who might be mad at Tate Reeves for the way he's handled this thing right now, and many of you, maybe you think he's been reasonable, I don't know. But for those of you who think you're mad at him, because I've heard from some of you, I'll never vote for him again. Yes, you will. Come on now. Let's not do that thing where we act like we hold a politician accountable for anything. It's not even worth really pretending anymore. Let's just say, well, he's a Republican. He can do whatever he wants to, and I'll vote for him next time anyway. I mean, let's be honest. At least be honest with this. Now, I'm going to explain to you when we come back why they get away with these things, too. Because Americans have been sold safety. I played a clip for you yesterday. Attorney General William Barr, isn't he like the top law enforcement guy in the country? Attorney General. I was announcing this methamphetamine bust for 26,000 pounds of methamphetamine that came across the southern border, which was a big shock to me because I thought the southern border was closed. When I listen to the Trump campaign, I hear that we've shut off illegal drugs coming across the southern border, but I guess this 26,000 pounds of crystal meth somehow snuck through. Maybe it crossed the border during Obama's term, has just been sitting in a warehouse somewhere waiting till now to, you know, I'm being sarcastic. But William Barr in his press conference said, it is the first duty of the American government to keep the American people safe. See, that's that little thing. It makes you feel warm and fuzzy. Oh, we took those drugs off the streets. The government loves us, and they're trying to keep us safe from these drugs. And William Barr will tell you, and presidents, whether it's Donald Trump or Barack Obama or George Bush, my first duty is to keep Americans safe. And boy, doesn't that make you feel warm and fuzzy? Ooh, it's like we got a big daddy watching the door for us. But that's not what the government's first job is. The first job of government is to protect your rights. We make decisions about our safety. Anyway, that's not what they do. But I'll explain to you kind of what all we've accepted that's led to these lockdowns, because it would be nice if people maybe changed their minds on the idea of the government giving you safety. William Barr says his first job of the federal government is to keep you safe when he announces this drug bust. Let me ask you a question. Have we been safe from drugs for the last 100 years they've been waging the drug war? Because I got to tell you, I look around, drugs are still here. Never left. Matter of fact, there's more of them now than ever. Anyway, be right back.
Food allergies know how difficult it can be to find quality, affordable restaurants that cater to your needs. That's why the folks over at Your Pie have made a commitment to ensure everyone can enjoy great tasting pizza. Your Pie offers gluten-free dough, vegan, non-dairy cheese, and non-dairy sorbet. Just ask for it next time you're in line. Matter of fact, just mention any allergy you have, and the folks at Your Pie will go over the top to make sure you can safely enjoy their delicious food. That's Your Pie in Gluckstadt, where food allergies never stop you from being able to express your inner pizza.
right into this world all alone. God takes your soul. You're on your own.
You know, I guess the British must have tried to dissuade the United States, the colonialists, from rebelling by telling the British subjects here in the United States, or here in America at the time, we're going to keep you safe from everything. You can't do without the British crown. We're over there keeping you safe. Because something like that must have been going on for Benjamin Franklin at the time to say those who give up essential liberties for temporary safety deserve neither liberty nor safety. Because, I mean, how else would he have known that we would have slipped into this idea that the government is our mommy and our daddy and is going to keep us safe? And politicians, as I say, they've been telling you for forever, it's their responsibility to keep you safe. We just had a commercial of several people during COVID. These companies come out and say, hey, we're going to keep our customers safe because they know what they've got an incentive, right? They want people to feel comfortable coming in. So they do the things necessary to be. No, government didn't need to make them do that. Same thing with smoking in restaurants. I don't want to get started on that, but everybody wanted to be saved from cigarette smoke. You outlaw it. We need the government to do it because I can't voluntarily go to a restaurant that doesn't allow smoking. I want to go to the restaurant I want to go into, but smokers want to go in there too, so make them stop. That's what people did. And a lot of Republicans loved that no smoking in restaurants thing. They didn't care about the restaurant owner who may have made a lot of money off of a smoking crowd. Government's going to keep you safe from drugs. It's going to keep you safe from terrorism. It's going to keep you safe in your car by enforcing seatbelt rules. It's going to keep you safe on your motorcycle by enforcing helmet rules because you're too stupid to wear a helmet by yourself. But we're going to keep you safe. We're going to keep the country safe by invading countries halfway around the world. We're going to keep you safe. We're going to create a Department of Homeland Security. Homeland. A fascist term if I've ever heard one. Does anybody know that what happened last Thursday, what Donald Trump signed last Thursday? Donald Trump last Thursday signed the extension of the national emergency related to the 9/11 attacks. 19 years later. I can't read the text. It's too small for me on my iPad here where I pulled it up and it's not allowing me to do it. But basically it's Donald Trump going, yeah, well, you know, with the way things are, we're extending the national emergency related to terrorist attacks of 9/11. Everything's an emergency. The government's got to be firmly in control of everything. That's why we've got the SEC, the FBI, the CIA, the DHS, the FDA, the NIH, the USDA, the EPA, the CDC, all of these three-letter agencies that we fund with taxpayer dollars in this elusive idea that the government's going to keep us safe from everything. And it all presupposes, particularly when it comes to COVID, that we're too stupid to do these things on our own. Mississippi thinks we're too stupid to keep our kids healthy, so they've got to mandate 72 vaccines for our children before they turn age 6. Because you're too stupid to keep your kids safe yourself and make decisions on your own children. You're too stupid. They'll take care of it from here. Well, just wait. They may have one more vaccine they want you to take. I'll be right back.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Thanks for joining me today. We're going to get in today to some, I wanted to talk a little bit about this new documentary on Netflix, The Social Dilemma, just because it fits into what I've been talking about on this show for probably the past year or so, which is the horrific damage that social media is doing to this country. Now, it's either social media that I lay the blame on. There's a whole lot of things that are coming together to cause this violence in the streets, to cause the agitation, the hyper-partisanship. It's a whole lot of different things. Be honest with you, I think it's the food. I think people's brains don't work like they used to, strange as that may be. I think social media plays a big part. I think the wealth inequality gap, more people in this country are desperate than used to be because of actions taken by the government that have assured that there is a permanent underclass here, that it gets more and more desperate as each decade goes on. It's either that or I was trying to remember the name of the Kingsman movie where they were able to send out some signal through cell phones that just turned everybody into bloodthirsty killers. The Kingsman, I think that's the name of the movie series. Pretty entertaining, high-action movie, but there was one where I think it was Samuel Jackson was the villain. And he could send out something, and you know, you'd have a church full of people that are just sitting there worshiping, and then suddenly he turns this thing on, and it turns into just a bloodbath, everybody trying to kill each other. Maybe that's happening. Maybe it's actually that bad. But I think social media is one of those things that has really just destroyed the fabric of our society, and is certainly hurting our youth. We're going to talk a little bit about that coming up. And I'll be honest, I'm trying to get people to rethink their relationship with social media. I mean, it's up to you to free yourself if you want to. I mean, it really doesn't matter what's happening societally, I guess. I can't affect society, but for each person, I got to tell you, social media is not making you happier. It's not making you better informed. It's just getting you into a little bubble and getting you outraged. It's just the outrage machine. And you'll hear some of these developers and some of these clips talk about, they know what pushes your buttons. You're being manipulated. Why not me? I use it for good purposes. I only do. Yeah, I know. Yeah, everybody. I don't have a problem. It's everybody else has got a problem. There was some good news. Democratic Pennsylvania Governor Tom Wolf's pandemic restrictions, including a requirement that non-life sustaining businesses were to shut down, has been ruled unconstitutional by a federal judge. U.S. District Judge William Stickman IV, a Trump appointee, ruled on Monday in a 66-page opinion that the restrictions were overreaching, arbitrary, and violated citizens' constitutional rights. Plaintiffs in the case include hair salons, a farmer's market vendor, a horse trainer, drive-in movie theaters, and several GOP lawmakers, according to the ABC affiliate up there. Is there anybody in Mississippi that is making any moves? And here's the reason for it. Well, it's too late now. Tate Reeves is already allowing 75% occupancy at restaurants, Mike. If we're really good boys and girls, he'll let it go up to 100%. That's before the twindemic. See, you've got to get this stuff. It should have been nipped in the bud. These lawsuits should have been filed, and there should have been some level of civil disobedience, but I understand. We never really know how far these things are going to go. It's hard to see into the future. But certainly by April or May, these lawsuits should have been filed, and there should have been just a massive civil disobedience where restaurant owners just stood in the door wide open and said, come on in. I'm serving people. What I'm doing is feeding people. It's a human right for me to offer food to people. These emergency measures, just like, and I'm talking about that. I mean, Trump just signed another extension of the emergency declaration around the 9/11 terrorist attacks. What in the world could that be for? And every president's done it before him. Every year for 19 years, they keep their emergency powers in place. So when it comes to these lawsuits to challenge these business closings, it needs to be done now. Because I'm telling you, they are setting us up for another fall shutdown. They are teeing this thing up. First of all, they're sending everybody out to get their flu shots, and I'm reading report after report after report showing that if you get a flu shot, it may make you more likely to contract a coronavirus, a respiratory illness. And so they're going to, if nothing else, they're going to make dang sure more people have respiratory illnesses this fall, if these studies are to be believed. And there's a lot of them out there. They are pushing this flu shot. But anyway, just the twindemic alone, Is there any attorney? I need to speak to my attorney friend. I mean, it seems like this is one of those no-brainers. You know, the restaurateurs in New York got together and filed a $2 billion lawsuit against Andrew Cuomo personally, I believe. And within 36 hours, he said he would allow indoor dining at 25%. Again, not 27%, that wouldn't be scientific. Not at 31%, that would be a catastrophe. Not at 20%, science says it's, you know what I mean? It's just so arbitrary. What is 25%? What is the difference between 25 and 26%? Nothing. Nothing demonstrable, nothing scientific. It's just an easy thing. It's a quarter. It's a rounded quarter. Yeah, but to a restaurateur, an extra 5% occupancy or 10% occupancy could be the difference between life and death for your business. But these people filed this $2 billion lawsuit against Andrew Cuomo, and within 36 hours, he reversed on indoor dining. He's only doing 25%. I hope they sue the crap out of him for that, too. It just makes – this is one of those opportunities. Where is that attorney in Mississippi who's willing to go out there and take this case pro bono? Represent, I mean, how hard would it be to be able to go around to some hairdressers and some restaurants and some churches and say, hey, I'd like to file a lawsuit on your behalf saying it is unconstitutional for one of these power grabs where they just force everybody to shut down. Make it unconstitutional. Set the precedent now because it's coming again. Another interesting story here, AstraZeneca, been on the receiving end of hundreds of millions. I don't know if they've gotten to $1 billion of taxpayer dollars yet, but AstraZeneca, one of the world's largest drug companies, has been aggressively raising prices even as it receives hundreds of millions of dollars of U.S. government aid to develop a COVID-19 vaccine. The multinational pharmaceutical company raised prices in a way that stood out even among other big drug companies. It announced not just one set of price hikes in 2020, but two, often on the same drugs. According to an analysis of drug pricing data by the Times and 46 Brooklyn Research, a nonprofit that studies the pharmaceutical industry, AstraZeneca hiked prices on some of its biggest selling medicines by as much as 6% this year at a time when the overall inflation rate is hovering around 1%. Of course, this is in a time where I thought it's just like the drugs that came across the southern border that William Barr busted, 26,000 pounds of crystal meth. I thought the border was shut. I thought the pharmaceutical companies had lowered all their prices and we were living in this utopia of cheap drug prices now. Color me surprised that our Health and Human Services Secretary, the former Eli Lilly executive, has not lowered drug prices. Come on, are you kidding me? There was a story about Biden yesterday spending. They've totaled up his spending plans, and then they put a price tag to him. To a libertarian like me and a small government guy, I always like those stories. The total came out to $5.4 trillion. Of course, this is nothing like Bernie Sanders. What was he at? Something like $70 trillion. They've totaled up Biden's spending plans at $5.4 trillion. I saw this yesterday on Fox News where they had some of the roundtables and they were just sitting around going, oh my gosh, look at this. This is crazy. How are we going to afford this? It is absolutely asinine. Joe Biden putting together his little grab bag of things. And we know how government spending goes. If he were to get into office, he would continue to tack on more and more stuff on this. I mean, this is like this. This is the starting point right here at $5.4 trillion. That's over 10 years. But I got to ask you, how is that different than what's going on right now between under Donald Trump or Barack Obama or George Bush, the Congresses that are run by Republicans or Democrats? It's $5.4 trillion over 10 years. That's only $540 billion a year. Is that something strange? We're going to tack on probably somewhere in the $6 to $7 to $8 trillion of new debt this year. We can absorb. I mean, you know, so the arguments made, Kylie McEnerney, Trump's spokeswoman, was asked about Biden's plans for spending all this money. And, you know, of course, she pointed out how ridiculous it is. It is asinine, another $5.4 trillion for a country that is technically insolvent. But then I guess the reporter asked her, well, what do you have to say about all of the debt that's been racked up over the last 3.5-4 years under Donald Trump? And she said, well, he is going to make debt and deficit a priority for his second term. I mean, it takes some serious chutzpah. I love this. If you just give us one more term, Get us back. Seriously, next time. When Trump ran in 2016, he said, oh, we're going to grow our way out of that. The debt's easy. We're going to pay off the debt. That's what he said. Now they promise, pinky swear, it's going to be a priority of the second term, which is interesting because he's also promised more tax cuts. I don't think he has any plans to cut military spending. I've seen no indication of that. Trump said he won't touch Social Security, Medicare, or Medicaid. He said that they will cover all pre-existing conditions. They're supposed to be getting an infrastructure bill, a new health plan, and finishing the wall. I'm not really sure exactly how debt reduction is going to figure it in to Trump's second term, but his spokesperson says for sure, next, just elect him one more time, and he'll definitely, the $10 trillion he racked up during his first 4 years, that was an aberration, but he's really committed in his second term to getting rid of the debt and deficit. Absolutely insane. All right, I'm going to take a break. We're going to start getting into what I guess is going to be Tech Tuesday for today. We're going to look. There's been a couple of stories that kind of put tech on the radar, and then I ran across this Social Dilemma documentary on Netflix with all of its. I mean, they're just flat out warnings. They're warnings, but so many people are already using it that maybe it's just it's more of an alert to let you know what you are subjecting yourself to and what your children are subjecting themselves to when it comes to social media from the creators themselves. We'll get to all that and more when we come back. Stay with me. This is The Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB.
Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a complete flag source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a complete flag source has all of the right brackets. Visit a complete flag source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. About to get into some kind of technology talk here as we look at the digital gulag. I think it's a good way to describe what we're building for ourselves. It's not healthy, people. Call this an intervention for those of you who may be addicted to social media. I'll tell you how they got you addicted because it's happening without even your knowledge. Got a caller on the line. Caller, are you with me?
Yes.
How are you doing?
I'm doing absolutely amazing. How are you?
Oh, I'm good. What's going on?
Actually, I was calling in for Kim Wade, and you answered the phone.
That hurts. I got to tell you, that hurts. Well, you're about 5 hours too early for Kim Wade. You know, he'll be here from 4 to 6 tonight.
Well, let's talk about social media. I'd be glad to.
Are you a user of social media?
Absolutely, both business and personal.
Now, the business side I get, the personal side, where you may want to stay tuned. There's a documentary that's come out, and they're talking about the ways they manipulate behavior using social media, and even the people that created it. It's people from Pinterest to Instagram to Facebook to Twitter to Google that have left these companies and said, we have created a monster that is tearing apart the fabric of our society. Can you see any of that?
Go on further.
Well, my theory is that some of the anger we see between us human beings out here in the country, the hyper-partisan nature of everything, we create bubbles for each other where the left gets in their bubble and they charge each other up, and the right gets themselves in their bubble and they charge each other up. There's no discussion of stuff because all of the discussion goes on in our bubbles. And when we lash out, if you go look at a tweet sent out by Donald Trump, It doesn't even matter what it is. It can be something innocuous where he's just stating a fact. It can be something where he's making a position statement. It can be something that he's trolling somebody with. And then look at the responses to it. And it is nothing but some of the nastiest, most vile hatred. And this goes on both sides.
This is true.
Social media,
I agree with you on that, totally.
Social media brings out the absolute worst in people by allowing us to attack strangers anonymously. And I think that is starting to carry over into our personal lives when we interact with people interpersonally. That is my case.
I can see that. I can see that totally.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for allowing me to participate for a short period of time on your show.
All right. Call back anytime. But next time, I want you to want the Mike Madison Show. Kim Wade, you save him from 4 to 6.
Thank you so much.
All right. Bye-bye. Thanks. Bye. We are all, it's Kim Wade's world up here at WYAB. We're all just living in it, doing what we can. There were a couple of tech stories that I ran across before I even saw this social dilemma thing, talking about this, what I consider a digital gulag we're building for ourselves. I've called this for years the turnkey tyranny. We all assume that we may have some bad presidents and some bad politicians, and yeah, they're a little corrupt, and yeah, they're a little slimy, but they'd never crack down on us. I think people may be changing their minds on that. We've given them all the tools. You got all the tools that they are currently right now monitoring and storing and surveilling your text, your emails, your voicemails, your location, everything. If we get a really bad actor into office and they wanted to crack down, they've got all the tools. If they want to round up the guns, they can. We've made it extremely easy for them. But these things continue to go on. What first seemed like a gradual slide into the federal government's use of biometrics is quickly becoming supercharged in the post-pandemic world. Readers may recall, this is a Zero Hedge article, readers may recall since 9/11, DHS, the FBI, the CIA, and other alphabet soup agencies have transformed America into a surveillance state that could be on par with China in coming years. Activity in DNA and biometric gathering by the federal government is set to surge. The DHS recently announced a, quote, notice of proposed rulemaking that outlines the agency could enlarge its collection of biometric data by at least 2 million submissions annually. So they are coming at you for your biometrics. This is going to be your eyes, the gait that you do, your DNA, just anything that can identify you, particularly digitally, and make it unmistakable it's you. They also, this geofencing. I don't know if you've seen the stories about that. This is an Orwellian tool local police are starting to use. It's called a geofence warrant. And it is it's a virtual dragnet. When crime is committed, what they do is they go to Google, they go to the big tech companies, and they say, give us everybody's phone who was within a certain area of this crime. Now, on first blush, that seems like, wow, what a valuable investigative tool, doesn't it seem like? Well, I mean, I would imagine some of the better criminals amongst us know not to take their phones with them. So what you do is you sweep up a ton of innocent people and make them all suspects in a crime rather than doing any, what do they call it, gumshoeing, any investigative work. You just all of a sudden have all of these suspects there. This has already found itself to lock up innocent people. There's a story here. I'm not going to spend the time reading the whole story. It has led to the arrest and jailing of one guy for 6 days because he loaned his phone to somebody who was there by a crime scene. And the police essentially said, we can with 100% certainty say this guy's phone was in the vicinity of this shooting. It might have actually been a murder. Well, this guy had nothing to do with it. He'd loaned his phone to somebody. They were in the vicinity of it. And this guy did 6 days in jail. Now, the good side of that for him is if you can just imagine all of a sudden the cops showing up and arresting you. This is not part of an investigation. They went ahead and made the arrest based on his phone data. He's suing the city and I think the police officers themselves. I think it's like $2.5 million he's suing for. So this is one of these policies that's out there. But again, you can just imagine how this can be abused. And the fact that they're tracking our phones that carefully anyway is concerning. Got another caller on the line. Caller, are you with me?
Yes, I am.
Hey, what you got?
Randall, if you got that email I sent you the other day, can't remember what date it was now, but it was one day last week, in reference, because I heard the girl call in a while ago asking a question for Tim Wade.
Yeah.
And what I wanted to say was that Tim Wade's show had something on the COVID-19 about the origin of it. I found it very interesting. I don't know if you caught that show or not.
Yeah, I didn't catch that Kim Wade show. Now, I do remember you emailing me. I'm sorry if I didn't respond. I'm behind on a lot of emails, but okay. I've been moving recently.
I heard that, and I was wondering if maybe that was part of the problem, but in any event, I just wanted to, since she came in, it kind of triggered something in my mind about Tim Wade. And I said, well, I never did hear back from Mike on that email I sent to him about the Kim Wade show, and it was very interesting.
Yeah, I'm going to check back. I'll check with Kim. I'll email him when I get done here today and find out what he used. You'd reference something like a 15-minute or 12-minute clip. I think it's one that I had played some clips out of, but I didn't do the full thing. There are an awful lot of these things really debunking this whole hysteria, so I guess I can't assume it was just one. But
when he played it, and of course I can't remember now exactly, but when he played it, it was just like, you know, jaw-dropping, like, you got to be kidding.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's and of course you don't know where, I can't remember now where it was coming from, and I tried to get more information on it, and
it's not easy, is it?
Just won't give it to you.
Yeah, I'm telling you, the censorship of this stuff is absolutely staggering. And that's what I'm saying. You know, when I was talking earlier today about Thomas Dobbs, does he not see this stuff? Is he not interested in this stuff? Or when he hears, I mean, there are groups of doctors, everything from independent physicians who just get out and make a video to people that have done research papers and quote research papers on, you know, the inefficiency of masks or herd immunity. I mean, there's all kinds of opposing views on this. Yet Thomas Dobbs sits in front of us every day along with Anthony Fauci and says, we are the purveyors of all science. We know the truth about this. And our science says, do these guys just totally ignore the rest of the studies going on and all these independent people out there saying, no, you've got it wrong, or you're mistaken or something? They just dismiss it all.
Yeah, and then when I reach out to the governor's office and reference, you know, the governor and Dobbs, I get no response out of them. It's just
shocking.
Like, you know, are they even receiving my email?
Yeah, who knows? I mean, they obviously are not open to anything but whatever the little inside channel is that Thomas Dobbs, straight from Anthony Fauci, has. They think that is science, and that's it. And there can be no counter arguments to it. It's, we just accept what they say, and to believe otherwise just makes us idiots.
On any issue dealing with science, you can have 10 scientists there, and five of them got one position, and the other five got, in fact, the opposite position.
So exactly.
There is no such thing as, you know, with the science.
Exactly. When they say the science is settled, that is actually anti-science in itself. Science is always questioning assumptions to try to get to, and when you've got something that's this new, if, you know, COVID-19, Anthony Fauci, I think, knows more about it than he's letting on, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, but when you've got something this new, to act like they know everything about it and exactly what needs to take place and they don't need any outside opinions is ridiculous. Science never works that way.
Know, first of all, the coronavirus is really not new. I mean, it's a different strain.
Right,
yes,
right.
But the coronavirus has been around forever.
Yeah, exactly. And they've never, coincidentally, they've never had a vaccine for it in all of these years either, which makes you a little wonder how they could suddenly come up with one in 7 or 8 months.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm going to let you go, Mike. I know you got a show to do.
All right. Thanks, man. I will. All right. I'll follow up with Kim because maybe he's got something that I need to hear as well. So appreciate the call.
If I need to send you another email giving you a little bit specific dates on that, I can.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll ask Kim and see, and I'll shoot me email back to you if I need more info.
All right. Appreciate
Great.
You.
Thank you.
Bye.
All right. Got to take a quick break. I'm going to come back. We're going to get into this social dilemma. Technology is wrecking this country. I mean, it's such beautiful tools. I love technology. I'm not a troglodyte. I'm not anybody who wants to go back to the 1950s. And, you know, I don't want to get all my news on ham radio or anything like that. But I think social media is tearing apart the fabric of this country. And if you're participating in that, I'm going to show you why it may be dangerous to you and to your own mental health. Stay with me.
If you're considering renovations, remodels, or roofing, call on Tri-County Restoration. Do you have an insurance claim? We work with all insurance companies. Tri-County offers kitchen and bath remodels, wood floor refinishing, patio and sunroom additions, and is a GAF-certified roofing contractor. And Tri-County Restoration can handle new construction for that home you've always dreamed of. Call Tri-County Restoration, 601-856-2530, or visit our website, tcr.ms. That's tcr.ms.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. All right, we're going to do some of this stuff. This is the trailer to The Social Dilemma. I encourage you to watch this. Let me go ahead and warn you. If you're a conservative, this comes from a left point of view on a lot of the political issues. They talk about fake news. There's some stuff on white supremacy on there. There's some of that stuff. I do not believe it negates the message of people warning us of what they have created in social media. I think that is a lesson that people need to understand. You're being, if you are a user of social media, you're being manipulated.
When you go to Google and type in climate change is, you're going to see different results depending on where you live and the particular things that Google knows about your interests. That's not by accident. That's a design technique. What I want people to know is that everything they're doing online is being watched, is being tracked. Every single action you take is carefully monitored and recorded.
A lot of people think Google's just a search box and Facebook's just a place to see what my friends are doing. What they don't realize is there's entire teams of engineers whose job is to use your psychology against you.
I was the co-inventor of the Facebook like button.
I was the president of Pinterest.
Google. Twitter. Instagram.
There were meaningful changes happening around the world because of these platforms. I think we were naive about the flip side of that coin.
We get rewarded by hearts, likes, thumbs up, and we conflate that with value and we conflate it with truth.
A whole generation is more anxious, more depressed.
I always felt like fundamentally it was a force for good. I don't know if I feel that way anymore.
Facebook discovered that they were able to affect real-world behavior and emotions without ever triggering the user's awareness. They are completely clueless.
Fake news spreads 6 times faster than true news. We're being bombarded with rumors.
If everyone's entitled to their own facts, there's really no need for people to come together. In fact, there's really no need for people to interact.
We have less control over who we are and what we really believe.
If you want to control the population of your country, there has never been a tool as effective as Facebook.
We built these things and we have a responsibility to change it. The intention could be, how do we make the world better?
If technology creates mass chaos, loneliness, more polarization, more election hacking, more inability to focus on the real issues, we're toast.
This is checkmate on humanity.
So that is the trailer to The Social Dilemma. Now I'm going to play a couple of clips from this, and boy, is this clunky. It's on Netflix. I'm pulling just a couple of clips from that, and I won't bore you with the details, but I watched this thing on my iPad, but it just the way to mark the time in this thing is I'm going between a computer and a laptop, all of this stuff, to try to get several clips in this movie because I didn't pull them down and download them and chop them up. But there's just some telling things on here and exactly how what goes into it. Again, like I say, people understand that when you go to Las Vegas, you know, there's no clocks anywhere. They don't want you to know what time it is. The carpet color at a casino is designed for a certain effect. A lot of times carpets are very, very busy. I think that's to keep you awake. It will also have patterns that direct you in certain locations. Slot machines are very purposefully placed in different places in high traffic areas. I mean, there's so much manipulation in a casino. Most of us know this going in, but also casinos are not used to the same degree that social media is. This has become a science, and they're always getting better at this science. And I believe that the results we see, the agitation of people, the anger of people, I think is being perpetuated from social media. A lot of this documentary seems to bolster that idea coming from the people who developed it.
What I want people to know is that everything they're doing online is being watched, is being tracked, is being measured. Every single action you take is carefully monitored and recorded. Exactly what image you stop and look at, for how long you look at it. Oh yeah, seriously, for how long you look at it.
They know when people are lonely, they know when people are depressed, they know when people are looking at photos of your ex-romantic partners, they know what you're doing late at night, they know the entire thing.
Whether you're an introvert or an extrovert, or what kind of neuroses you have, what your personality type is like.
They have more information about us than has ever been imagined in human history. It is unprecedented.
And so all of this data that we're just pouring out all the time is being fed into these systems that have almost no human supervision and that are making better and better and better and better predictions about what we're going to do and who we are.
A lot of people have the misconception that it's our data being sold. It's not in Facebook's business interest to give up the data. What do they do with that data? They build models that predict our actions, and whoever has the best model wins.
His scrolling speed is slowing.
So this goes in. This movie has got some kind of fantasy, you know, acting in it as well to kind of bring it down to the level, which, I don't know, adds a little bit of entertainment value to it. I know not a lot of people are drawn to documentaries probably the same way I am. I wanted to play, let's see where I am here. Here's another clip. This is from one of the guys that put this documentary out, talking about the manipulation. So understand, they're not only collecting a bunch of data on you. And here's the thing. Look, I said for a long time, I had the Mike Madison Show on Facebook. I never spent a nickel with Facebook to advertise it. You know, they're always trying to get me to boost my post and get followers. And this is why I had very few followers. I didn't post very regularly. And I always kind of thought to myself, well, you know, I'm not using it. I'm not paying them anything. So what's the harm of being there? But boy, is it creepy. Is it creepy that there is some kind of essentially a digital avatar of Mike Madison on Facebook of what he's like? It tracks your likes. It knows what you like and what you don't like, and then it looks how you comment on things. It actually is not just examining who you are, but it's predicting what you may do going forward. And that, to me, is one of the creepier things about it. Some people won't care about this, and I know a lot of people will listen to this and go, well, yeah, but I don't use social media like that, you know, because everybody is addicted to it and you don't want to give it up. But anyway, I do my little piece here to show you what the insiders are telling you about this platform that you're willingly using.
In the tech industry, and it doesn't have a name, and it has to do with one source, like one...
Yeah, I think I...
When you look around you,
there you go.
It feels like the world is going crazy.
Amen.
You have to ask yourself, like, is this normal? Or have we all fallen under some kind of spell? I wish more people could understand how this works, because it shouldn't be something that only the tech industry knows. It should be something that everybody knows. Hi. Tristan. Nice to meet you.
All right. It gets a little bit more wordy in a second. I do apologize. This is pretty hard to get these clips. I think that the timing is off between my two... my two platforms on this thing too, which is not making it easier. So I'll do a better job. I'll cue these things up. And one of the main things I want you to hear is the kids. What this has done to the kids. The statistics on kids doing self-harm and on kids when it comes to suicide since 2011, 2012, This is really your social media time frame. For those of you that aren't that old, social media is very new. A lot is flying at us. I don't think we're prepared for it, to be honest with you. And my heart goes out to tweens and teens right now having to deal with that. I can't imagine if something that I had done or something I had said or somebody's opinion of me was put out for the public to judge on. I remember still when I saw my pool, anyone who's followed this show has followed the saga of my green pool a couple of years ago that Madison took such exception to. When somebody posted pictures of my green pool on my neighborhood homeowners association page, and I don't do Facebook, so I didn't know it was on there, and the woman I was going out with at the time said, "Oh my God, have you seen Facebook?" And I said, "Of course not. I don't do Facebook." And she said, "You need to look." Watching the neighbors come out, it was a digital lynch mob against me, me having a green pool in January. It was absolutely insane, and it's something none of these neighbors would have ever said to me. What do you think my relationship is if I saw somebody who didn't know me comment something incredibly derogatory about me under their Facebook name? Okay, so I've got Joe Blow says, "This guy should be run out of the neighborhood. He's endangering us all. He's going to breed a super mosquito." Again, this was in January. I don't want to recount the whole story. What happens later on when I go to a party or go out somewhere and, you know, somebody says, "Oh, you live in this neighborhood. So do I. My name is Joe Blow." What's my relationship with that guy going to be? He's the guy that blasted me, not knowing me. He might be a decent enough guy. He might think I'm a nice guy if we just met in real life. But instead, he just jumped into this fray, not knowing anybody, and blasted me in public. And this happens to teenagers. I can handle it. I'm a middle-aged man. But I can't imagine what teenagers are going through. Anyway, we're going to play some of this stuff about the consequences to teenagers, too. It's some of the most terrifying stuff. I'll be right back. All night with
the king. Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
All right, final segment here. I don't have a whole lot of time left, so I'm going to play a couple little clips. I'm telling people to rethink social media. And I know everybody thinks that they use it right. It's not a problem for them. That's how they keep in touch with people. I know it pumps you up. You get together with your Trump supporters and you bash a bunch of liberals and all that stuff. I don't think it's healthy. I see people who are going through. I've read these comments before. I went through and defriended about half my friends who were anti-Trump people. I just don't want them in my lives, that kind of stuff. That's dangerous. I don't lose friends over politics. They might not want to talk to me. They know where I stand on a lot of things. So that's up to them to just disassociate with me. I'm not getting rid of any of my liberal friends. I've had them a lot. I've got much more allegiance to friends that I've had for 40 years, even if they're diehard liberals, than I have to Donald Trump, who I don't even know. You can say that this election is important, but it is social media, I think, is just destroying our interpersonal relationships. And some of these programmers agree. This, again, this is about the effect that it has had on kids. And this is certainly a cautionary tale to parents. I know that's a tough battle to fight. All these kids are on this stuff. But I tell you what, I think we're doing a science experiment on them.
We evolved to be aware of what 10,000 people think of us. We were not evolved to have social approval being dosed to us every 5 minutes. That was not at all what we were built to experience.
We curate our lives around this perceived sense of perfection. because we get rewarded in these short-term signals, hearts, likes, thumbs up, and we conflate that with value and we conflate it with truth. And instead, what it really is fake, brittle popularity.
This is the former VP of growth for Facebook.
That's short-term, and that leaves you even more, and admit it, vacant and empty before you did it. Because then it forces you into this vicious cycle where you're like, what's the next thing I need to do now? Because I need it back. Think about that compounded by 2 billion people. And then think about how people react then to the perceptions of others. It's really bad. It's really, really bad.
There has been a gigantic increase in depression and anxiety for American teenagers, which began right around between 2011 and 2013. The number of teenage girls out of 100,000 in this country who are admitted to a hospital every year because they cut themselves or otherwise harm themselves, that number was pretty stable until around 2010, 2011, and then it begins going way up. It's up 62% for older teen girls. It's up 189% for the preteen girls. That's nearly triple. Even more horrifying, we see the same pattern with suicide. The older teen girls, 15 to 19 years old, they're up 70% compared to the first decade of the century. The preteen girls, who have very low rates to begin with, they are up 151%. And that pattern points to social media. Gen Z, the kids born after 1996 or so, those kids are the first generation in history that got on social media in middle school.
And if you look at these charts, it really does show, it just shows that this was steady. Self-harm and suicide of these tweens and preteens and teenage girls was pretty stable. You know, I mean, it wasn't good. I mean, any suicide, obviously, of a young child is bad, but pretty stable. And then social media comes around, and all of a sudden that thing starts going up. And I can't imagine, again, having my life splashed and any ridicule of me. I was talking to a friend the other day. I can't imagine a lot of my friends and I would joke with each other and tease each other. You know, we would dog each other out is what we would call it. All in good fun when you're all in, you know, when you're in a group of 4 to 5 people and you're trying to outdo each other by saying something funny about each other. I can't imagine if I'd done that online and just gone a little bit too far. You know, in a small group, everybody goes, oh, God, that was rude. But suddenly you put it out there in public and say something really horrible about somebody and they end up hurting themselves. I can't imagine what that would have done to me as well. Anyway, I feel like there is something going on in this country right now. We are agitated more than I've ever seen people agitated. I'm 53 years old. Maybe it happened in the early 1900s or late 1800s, but something's going on right now. I'm laying a lot of it at the feet of social media, so I've got a little bit of fatwa. Anyway, the documentary, if you want to watch it, is The Social Dilemma. It's on Netflix. Might want to check it out. See you tomorrow. Bye.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.